I Walked With You, Once Upon a Dream, by Hawks on Fire, read by Flower Parish, rated for general audiences, with warnings for graphic depictions of violence, a Bucky Barnes / Clint Barton fanfic, with the additional tags, alternate universe, merpeople, merman Bucky, pirate Clint, merman Steve, pirate Natasha, merman Tony, pirate Bruce, pirate Thor, pirate dog Lucky, Fluff, 5+1 things, Banff Clint, pirate Wanda, and pirate Pietro. Summary: 5 times Clint saved Bucky, and 1 time Bucky saved Clint. Chapter 1. Clint saves Bucky from some pirates, and not the fun kind. You ever seen a mer before, boy? The captain stands in front of Clint, arms crossed. He scoffs when Clint shakes his head. You wanna? I thought they weren't real, Clint says, putting his sponge down and following the captain below decks. The captain scoffs again. They're as real as you or me, boy. Worth a good amount of coin on the market, too. Well, their parts are, anyway. He leads Clint past the crew's quarters, past the little corner Clint's claimed for himself, deep in the bowels of the ship. Pulling a keyring out of his pants, he unlocks the door and pushes it open. In there, he says, jerking his head towards the tank in the corner. Aren't you coming in? The captain snorts. Why? I've seen the beast already, well enough to know what I'm selling. Go on, watch your fingers. This one's a nasty booger. Dumb as a clam, but nasty. He shoves Clint inside, shutting the door behind him. Bang on the door when you want out. Clint takes 2 steps forward, squinting to try and see through the murky darkness to the tank. He doesn't notice how close to the tank he's drifted until his foot bumps something that slides away with a clatter, drawing his attention. When he looks back at the tank, there's a face staring back at him. Clint swallows a yelp and scrambles backward, tripping over his feet and falling onto his ass. An odd sort of bubbling, hissing noise reaches his, admittedly shit, ears, and he looks up, panting, to see the mer holding its hand over its mouth, eyes crinkled at the corner and shoulders shaking. It's not nice to laugh at other people's pain, you know, Clint says, standing and rubbing sheepishly at his bruised behind. The mer flicks its tail and pokes its head above the waterline. You're the one keeping me in a cage, it spits viciously. I think that lets me laugh at whatever pain I want. Technically, it's the captain's keeping you in a cage, Clint points out, drifting closer again. Besides, he said you were dumb as a clam. The mer snorts. Clams can't talk, it points out. Wouldn't be the first time the captain got something wrong, Clint replies easily, because he's never liked the captain. He's only staying because Barney likes it here. Do you need anything? The mer scoffs. Yeah, I need out of this damn cage and back into the water. Clint flinches at its tone and takes a step back unconsciously. The mer watches him curiously, tilting its head. But I suppose I could do with some fresh fish, if you're offering. I'll see what I can do, Clint promises, shuffling toward the door. Name's Clint, by the way. The mer doesn't respond, just sinks back down into the water, watching Clint walk away with big blue eyes. Clint bangs on the door, and in the few seconds it takes before the captain opens it, he thinks maybe they've left him here to rot. He also thinks that might not be so bad if he's got company. But then the captain opens the door and yanks him out. You get your fill, boy? Dumb as a clam, like you said, Clint says, even though it hurts him to be so callous toward a creature who's clearly very intelligent, not to mention pretty. You ain't scared of it? The captain asks, raising one bushy eyebrow. Clint shakes his head. It's too dumb to hurt me, unless I get close. Besides, a jab with my knife will take care of that quick enough. The captain lets out a laugh, clapping Clint on the shoulder. You'll do just fine here, boy. Might even move up in the ranks one day. Till then, I'm putting you on mer duty. Feed it, make sure it doesn't die before we get to port, and you get extra rations for a week. Clint nods and lets the captain lead him away, sending one final glance back at the locked steel door. Might be nice to talk to someone who doesn't treat him like an idiot, even if that someone is a mer, and probably hates him, and is also probably going to be dead soon. It takes them 3 weeks to get to port. And in that time, Clint learns that the mer is a he, and his name is James. His favorite fish is a starfish, but since Clint can't get any of those till they get to warmer waters, he makes do with the carp and seaweed that Clint brings him. James has a best friend back home named Grant, who he's known since he was a guppy, which is apparently a mer's version of a baby, and his parents are probably worried sick about him. 4 nights before they're due to arrive in port, Clint stops being able to ignore his growing feelings of guilt regarding keeping James in a cage. It's clearly affecting him. His hair has gone lank, and he's got bruises under his eyes, and his tail is limp. He barely even moves anymore, not even for food. Clint brought him a starfish once, and James had just looked at him before rolling over and facing the wall, his back to Clint. "Why are you still here?" James asks one night, staring at Clint furiously. "You're selling me off for parts, and you're still here, talking to me and bringing me starfish. Like I'm supposed to what? Like you? Forgive you? I will never forgive you for this, Clint." His voice goes quiet near the end, and the sheer amount of hurt in it stabs Clint right in the heart. And right there, Clint makes a choice. "I gotta go," he stammers, dropping the rest of James's food into the tank and running out of the room. He barely remembers to lock the door behind him, and all the way up to the main deck, his mind is racing. He narrowly manages to stop himself just before he collides with the captain, who turns around and glares at him. "That mer better be in tip-top condition when we reach port, boy," he warns, "or whatever coin I lose on it will be taken out of your rations." Clint nods his agreement, and the captain lets him go, shoving him away. Clint resumes his race toward the main deck, scurrying up the mainmast and tucking himself into the fold of the sail. Hidden from all eyes aboard the ship, Clint starts to plan. The night before they're due in port, when everyone else is asleep, Clint sneaks into James's cell, carrying his lockpicks in one hand and a small waterproof sack filled with seaweed in the other. "What are you doing here?" James hisses, poking his head out of the water and glaring at Clint. "Getting you out of here and back into the ocean," Clint says, eyeing the latches on the tank. He can smash them, but that carries the risk of waking someone up. "What are you talking about?" James asks, his voice cautiously hopeful. Clint gets to work on the main latch, the one keeping the lid on James's tank. "I mean, the captain and his whole crew are awful people, and you don't belong here with them. You certainly don't belong on land being sold for parts. So I'm getting you out of here, tonight." James gapes at him silently. Clint's finished the first latch and started on the second by the time he speaks again. "How are you going to get me off the ship?" "I'll carry you," Clint grunts, lifting the lid off the tank and setting it down gently. "But you're so small," James says, eyes wide in shock. Clint snorts. "I'm 15 years old," he says, reaching into the tank. "I can carry you up some stairs and toss you over a rail." James pushes himself back against the wall of the tank. "How do I know you're not planning to kill me early?" he asks, voice wobbly. "You don't," Clint says. "But you know me, James. Can you honestly tell me you think I'm capable of something like that?" James looks him over carefully. Clint stays still patiently, not mentioning their time limit. Barney's due for a watch shift at dawn, and he won't hesitate to turn Clint in. "Okay," James says. Clint nearly sags in relief. "How do we do this?" It takes some maneuvering, but eventually they get James settled in Clint's arms. Clint grunts when he lifts James out of the tank. "You're heavier than you look." "Is that a bad thing?" Clint shakes his head, moving toward the door. It takes a couple of steps to get used to James's weight in his arms, but he manages. "Not at all. Quiet now, all right? I gotta get us up the stairs." James falls silent, and Clint opens the door, wincing when it squeaks slightly. It seems it takes hours for them to make it up the stairs, every footstep and breath feeling like an explosion. They have a tense moment when James grabs a lantern hook to stop them from turning a corner, but moments later, the first mate walks by, stumbling into walls and holding a bottle of rum in his hand. James makes a face as the stench of drunken, unwashed sailor hits them, and Clint has to stop himself from laughing. Finally, they make it up to the main deck. The sky is lightening, but the sun isn't yet poking up over the horizon. They still have a few minutes. Clint brings James over to the side of the ship, letting him sit on the rail, facing the ocean. "Thank you, Clint," James says, turning to face him. Clint flushes, rubbing a hand over the back of his neck. "It's nothing," he says awkwardly. "It wasn't nothing," James insists. "You saved my life. I am in your debt." "I don't want anything from you." Clint shakes his head, holding up a hand to stop James's protest. "It's bad enough I left you in a cage as long as I did. This was literally the least I could do." Seeing the stubborn look on James's face, he sighs. "If you really think you owe me a debt, the only thing I want from you is for you to be more careful. Don't get so close to shore again, all right? I'm not always going to be there to rescue you." James cups Clint's face in one hand, turning a thumb over his cheekbone gently. "Somehow, I doubt that, Clint." They stare into each other's eyes for a few seconds before Clint shakes his head and steps back, dislodging James's hand. "You should go," he says. "The crew will be waking up soon. Get as far away from here as possible." "Oh." He pulls the little bag of seaweed off his belt and hands it over. "I made this for you. I know you can get your own food and stuff once you're back in the water, but I figured I'd do it anyway." "Thank you," James says. He twists around and gets ready to push himself off the rail, then hesitates. "Clint?" he says, glancing back. "Yeah, James?" "My friends call me Bucky," he says with a small smile, and then he's gone, leaving only a splash and memories behind him. Clint grins out at the ocean, watching the waves sway hypnotically, before shaking his head and turning around. He's got a mess to clean up, someone to blame it on, and an innocent look to perfect.